Heavenly Father, Lord of King, I praise you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord. I pray the words of my mouth, coming out of my mouth, will be yours, and the thoughts will be yours. And I pray that you will keep me humble as I deliver this message. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Amen. I am tremendously blessed. The Lord has saved me multiple times. This past Wednesday was the 14-year mark from the day that the Lord saved me from myself and from the world. Prior to that, I did not know him. I did not want to know him, and I did not care anything about him. I had just had surgery on my sinuses for the fourth time. That actually was a Friday night, Erev Shabbat. Go figure, that's when the Lord saved me, on the Erev Shabbat. After my surgery, I had decided to read the book, The Da Vinci Code. Believe it or not, and I thought the whole thing, not just the ludicrousy of the fact that at the time I knew him as Jesus, Yeshua, could have been married to Mary Magdalene and had children who turned out to be the blue blood kings of Spain, England, Germany, France. I thought the whole thing was ludicrous. And I thought Jesus was a fallacy. The Lord was a fallacy. I did not believe. I didn't care. And on that night, as I was laughing, reading this book, the Lord spoke to me in a clear, concise thought. Not your usual inner dialogue that you have. This did not hear or sound like my voice. It was him. And he told me, I am real, and my son Jesus, Yeshua, is real. It was amazing because as he was saying this, this warm, tingly sensation came over me, and I started to have a little labored breathing. And the best way I could describe it is when you're a young child in high school, middle school, and you go to a school dance, and one of the girls that you know is friends with the girl that you're kind of interested in comes over and tells you that this girl that you were interested in liked you and wanted to dance with you. It's that warm feeling that someone likes you and wants to dance with you. Similar to in the movie Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, although Rabbi will tell you, I bring this up a lot in different ways, but what came to my mind when I was preparing this message was the time when the female reindeer, Clarissa, says to Rudolph, I think you're cute. Can you walk me home after takeoff practice? And he goes crazy, running and leaping into the air, flying, yelling, I'm cute, I'm cute. She says, I'm cute. That kind of excitement is what I felt when the Lord spoke to me. He told me, he took the time to tell me that he is real and that he loves me and he cares about me. And that was just the first time. This past September, last year, on the 19th and the 20th of September, Satan tried to take my life twice. I had a heart attack. They could not unblock the arteries. I had to have emergency surgery to do a bypass. And then the next day, there was internal bleeding. They had to go back down and open me up again. But the Lord stopped the bleeding because when they went in there, they could not find anything. Praise the Lord indeed. They told Amanda, my wife, that I was tremendously sick, that if I survived this surgery, I would be in the hospital for several months, a long time. They did not think I was going to survive. The Lord said, no. Not only did I survive, I was out that following Thursday afternoon by lunchtime. 1 week. I was out in 1 week. They didn't think I was going to survive. I was out of bed the next day after I woke up after Shabbat. I love worshiping the Lord. I like being here so much. I was out a Thursday and I was here on Shabbat that Saturday. The next day, the holy day started. Rosh Hashanah, I was there. I was there for all the holy days except for Tashlik, because I still, in my physical form, I was gotten tired. I couldn't stay for the whole Tashlik. The Lord saved me. I'm not lost. I'm just trying to listen to the Holy Spirit, just in case you're wondering. From that minute on, I started on my journey with the Lord. I praise God that He has allowed me to know Him and to know His truth. I praised God that He chose me to be one of His miracles, because that is what it was, a miracle that I survived. I praise God that He has blessed me with a wonderful wife and a wonderful new family. From this week's reading from the Brit HaRashah in the book of Hebrews, chapters 8 and 10, as I was reading in chapters 8, verses 10b and 11, the message title popped in my head, and specifically, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them, to know the Lord. That's what stood out to me. But He also said to me, and pursue the Lord. Pursue the Lord, to know the Lord is the title of the message. We must pursue Him in order to know Him. It's not a passive act. We have to pursue Him. He loves each and every one of us. As Rabbi Mark was saying earlier, He wants a close personal relationship with each and every one of us. He wants us to know Him. And it's so mind-blowing for me, because I was always taught that it was that old man up in the sky that has no personal relationship with you. You just need to know Him and follow His rules. And it's not that way. It is more than that. He does want a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And I put the scriptures up there the way it was in the Bible that I use, in the New American Standard Bible. Everything is capitalized, emphasized that He wants us to know Him. And of all the promises in the Brit HaRashah, I think this is the most important one. Yes, the Gentiles being brought into the covenant is important. And the fact that God came fully as God and fully as human to be a sacrificial lamb for our sacrifices is important. But the promise here, I believe the Lord showed me, is the most important. And we should all be excited about that. He wants us to know him. He wants us to seek him out. He wants us to pursue a relationship with him, to know him individually, intimately, to live our lives for him, to be guided by him through his Holy Spirit, so we don't make all the mistakes that we normally make when we try and do things our own way. If we let him, he will take care of everything his way. Not always the way we want it, but the way he wants it, and it will be a better way. We should be seeking him out. And according to Psalm 118:23, that comes from Adonai, and in our eyes, it is amazing. It should be amazing. It is amazing that he wants to know each and every one of us personally. Sometimes we get caught up in life and we don't realize it or think about that or pay attention to that, but he does. We should be super excited about this. The creator of the universe, the whole universe, wants to have a close personal relationship with each and every one of us. He thought about me so much that he saved my life twice. No, make that three times. When I became a believer, he saved my life. But it's not the same relationship with all of us. We each have a personal and different, unique relationship with the Lord. He has made it so that we all will know him. But we must pursue him. We must pursue the relationship. Because if not, you miss out on so much. Just think of all the blessings you miss out on when you don't pursue him, when you don't try to have a relationship with him. Just think about all the worldly things that we all pursue. Pursue means to follow and to seek out. Why not use that same effort productively by pursuing the Lord? He has done all the work. We need to let him take care of us. He has placed his Holy Spirit, a piece of his Spirit, within each and every one of us. John 16:7 says, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter and Counselor will not come to you. However, if I do go, I will send him to you." And also in John 16:13, it says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." So not only does he want us to know him, he also writes his laws on our minds and in our hearts. And then as a bonus, he sends his Holy Spirit, which is also the Comforting Counselor and the Spirit of Truth, to reside in us. That is so amazing that he has done all that. In addition to saving us through what he did on the execution stake, he made it so that we can know him, but we have to pursue him. It's not about sitting back and waiting for him to come to us. We have to go to him. He wants us to know him intimately, a close personal relationship. And it's more than just words or outward signs. Wearing tzitzit means nothing if you're not pursuing a relationship with him. You cannot just come for a 3-hour service, raising your hands, yelling out amen and hallelujah, and not pursue him in a relationship. With the other 6 days of the week, you're just living your life the way you want to live your life without him involved with it. These things are good to do with the right heart attitude, but they do not lead us to a relationship. Coming here, sitting here, doing the worship service, saying the prayers, does not lead you to the relationship. It is pursuing him, trying to know him. The daily reading of the Bible and the reading of the weekly Parsha Bible verses is important, but it is more than just the reading. You have to read, you have to get connected with the Holy Spirit, pursue the Lord and know him through his Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit can guide you and direct you to understand what the Word is saying, because it is written by men. And even the Word of God is inerrable. The way men write sometimes causes errors. As Rabbi and I were talking earlier, whether or not this video that he showed was going to work, he said, why doesn't it work all the time? Because the computers are built by men. The computer programs are built by men. The electronics are built by men. Men are fallible. There's only one perfect person, and that's Yeshua. The term in computer programming is GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. The program is only as good as the person that wrote it. And even if you did write it well, there's always some kind of bug in there. And based on what I know in cybersecurity now, there are people out there that specialize in writing special programs to infect your computer that will cause bugs. So we have to read the scriptures through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He is the comforting counselor who will help you to understand what the Bible is saying. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is Yeshua. You cannot be led by the Holy Spirit without a relationship with him. You must pursue the Lord to know him, to know him through the connection with the Holy Spirit. We have to pursue him continually. This is the reason for the title of this message. Know the Lord and pursue the Lord. Last Sunday night, Amanda and I watched a movie on PureFlix, which is a streaming service similar to Netflix, but way better, because it's all faith-based movies, documentaries, children's cartoons. We watched a movie called Love Covers All. And in this movie, there was a young man who was a believer. His wife is pregnant, soon to deliver, and he has to travel over 3 hours to a meeting with his job. As he was at the meeting, he finds out that the company's downsizing and he just lost his job. What kind of stress is that? Your wife is about to deliver and you just lost your job. So on the way home, his car breaks down. He's stranded at a gas station. The owner, who's also a mechanic, could not fix the car right away. He had to get a part, so he had to stay there. His wife goes into labor. He's struggling to find a way to get back home. Again, this man called himself a Christian. He was wearing the necklace of a cross. He's carrying a Bible in his bag. And on the back of his car was one of those little magnet placards with a fish that said Jesus in the middle of it. All the outward signs of being a Christian. But the thing was, with all these stressors going on, he wasn't acting like a Christian. He was barking at the owner of the gas station and all the other people he encountered while he was there. He was only thinking about his circumstances and his alone. But how many of us can relate to that? How many of us can admit there are times when we get so wrapped up in the circumstances that we're in that we only think about what's happening to us? How many can admit that they've been there or still there? The owner noticed that this man had the cross necklace, the Bible, and that little placard on the back of his car and began to ask him questions. Aren't you going to pray? Aren't you going to read the Bible? The man gave the mechanic a severe attitude and barked out answers, no. So when the young man was asked if he was a Christian, he said no, but his parents, when the young man asked the owner if he was a Christian, he said no, but my parents were. But they were killed by a drunk driver. He said, yes, all the people in the congregation in the beginning were nice to him and took care of him, but then after a few weeks, they were gone. He's left by himself, a young man. But this mechanic called the Christian guy out. He called him a hypocrite. He said that all Christians are hypocrites. He basically said that all Christians say and do the right things, but when things get tough, they act the same way as non-believers, without any faith. And I find that very interesting. How many people out there call themselves Christians, but you wouldn't know it because they look no different than the rest of the world. If you know the Lord and are actively pursuing the Lord, you will be placing the stressors before Him and let Him take care of it. That's what He wants to do. That's why He wants to pursue us, to pursue Him, to know Him, because He wants to take care of us. If you knew Him, you would be focused on Him and not allow the manipulation of the evil one to take you out of the peace of the Lord, out of God's shalom. How many of us can say that? That in a specific time of stress, where Satan is manipulating the situation and putting negative thoughts in your mind, how many can say that he has taken out of you out of the shalom of the Lord? Will you stop listening to the Lord and you're all stressed out about what's happening? I know I'm guilty of doing that on occasion. And then afterwards, makes you even more mad that you allowed him to do that. Philippians 4:7 says, and the shalom of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Messiah Yeshua. If that young man had known the Lord and had been pursuing the Lord, he would have seen the opportunity that God was giving him to be a testimony. Because as the movie progressed, at that moment, he did not look, he did not act any differently than the rest of the world. He was all up in his own little misery. And worse, the mechanic had books on the different religions on the bookshelf in his office. He was pursuing to know about the Lord. He was looking at different religions to find out why. Why is he here? Why are things the way they are? The mechanic was asking the young man other questions about Christianity, but the young man snubbed all his questions. As a true believer, are we supposed to snub people when they ask us questions about the Lord? Why do you do it? Are we not supposed to tell them everything about the Lord? To tell them how wonderful being in the kingdom of God is? We're not supposed to keep it quiet. We're supposed to put the lamp up so that all can see, not have it hidden. He was so caught up in his circumstances to see that the mechanic was searching for answers. He was searching, pursuing the Lord. He wanted to know the Lord. We all need to be pursuing the Lord and wanting to know Him. He had already put it in our minds and our hearts. We have to stop suppressing it and pursue Him. Simply knowing the Lord on a superficial level is not enough. Simply saying, I believe in the Lord, and that's it, is not enough. The Lord wants to The world knows God. The world does know God, but they do not know Him intimately and do not care about Him. They kicked Him out of the schools. All the events that are taking place, that were taking place in the show, all the events, the current events that are taking place now in the world, show how superficial the knowledge of the Lord is in the world. As Rabbi Mark was saying last Shabbat in his message, The Spirit of Racism, he quoted some statistics from the newest Pew report on religion in the U.S. 90% of American people claim to be Christians. Only 2% of that 92% actually attend worship services on a regular basis, or at least attend. And of that 2%, less than 2% of that, very few actually really tithe. And in order for the congregation to be able to do the Lord's work effectively, they need to be having tithes. It's not our money, it's the Lord's money. And He wants us to be able to take care of the congregation that we belong to take care of our fellow brothers and sisters that need it. Racism exists because the evil one is good at promoting lies and manipulating our minds. If all of God's children would pursue the Lord in order to know the Lord, there would be no racism. We tend to have our priorities out of whack sometimes. It has been made very clear what our priorities should be. In Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40, it says, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depends the whole law and the prophets. God always comes first. Always. And then others come second. And that is a big problem with a lot of people that call themselves believers. They don't always follow the proper priorities that the Lord has set out. We have to pursue Him first. He is first and foremost in anything. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. If you follow His priority, everything is going to be working out wonderfully. way better than what we can imagine. Pursuing God to know God first and foremost, then putting others second. If the world would know the Lord first, then others second, there would be no racism. The world and its ways are about being selfish, being self-centered. It's all about me, 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 or mine, 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 or what's in it for me. This is out of balance. God first, others second. Now, the next thing I'm going to talk about applies to all people. Some may wonder whether or not it does. When we're talking about marriage, the marital relationship, this applies to everybody because he describes his relationship with us as a marital relationship. Yes, some of us aren't married in the flesh, but we're married in the spirit to the Lord. And that marriage relationship is God first, and then your spouse second. And in case in the spiritual relationship, it's God. He is our God, and he is also our spouse. We as believers are the bride. So we must pursue him to know him. In the case of marriage relationships between man and a woman, it is God first, then your spouse second. There are many people that have this out of whack. You think of your spouse after the Lord. It has to be the Lord first, then your spouse. Not the Lord and then you, then your spouse. Not the Lord, then you, or not the Lord and then your children, then your husband, your spouse, or your wife. That is out of order. It is God first, your spouse second, then your children. It is not, I repeat, not the job first either. And then God and the family second and third. God's first, spouse second, family third, then comes the job. If you put the job first before anybody else, it doesn't work out very well. It is not, I repeat, it is not God first and the children second with your spouse third. You cannot say that you put the Lord first but then focus too much on your career. You cannot say you put the Lord first but then place your children before your spouse. It doesn't work. If you go out of the priorities that the Lord set, it does not work. Things do not turn out the way you want them to. You have to follow his priorities. You have to pursue him and know him and know his priorities. I'm not saying that your children aren't important. They are very important. But your spouse should take priority over your children. You may not agree with some people may not agree with this, but this is the way the Lord has set it up. And if you set it up and you follow the way he set it up, then it's going to be working out perfectly because he's perfect and he designed things perfectly. All these examples are out of balance because we do not pursue our Lord and seek to know him and his ways. We all fall short, but the great news is that he did the work. Even during the service, he's speaking to me about this. And as you noticed, I wasn't always up on the readings up there. I was a little backwards, a little behind, because the Lord's speaking to me as the service was going on. We have to think of others first. We have to love others and show them grace and mercy the same way the Lord shows us grace and mercy. Sometimes being a spiritual leader is a little bit difficult. Don't necessarily want to go through some of the things that we have to go through. The Lord is speaking to me that He's placed the calling on each of us in the leadership. We didn't ask to be here. He had called us to be here. And He says, for men, as spiritual leaders of the family and as spiritual leaders in the congregation, the call is irrevocable. You cannot step aside and say, well, I don't want to do it. I'll just let my wife take care of things. It doesn't work that way. Whether you want to or not, whether you realize it or not, as a spiritual leader, you're held accountable. And as a spiritual leader of a congregation, you're held accountable double. Not just as a family, but for the whole community family. We don't always make the right decisions. We try to. We made a decision to stop services and go streaming. People weren't entirely with that on that. Me personally, I didn't like it. As I told you earlier, 2 days after I got out of the hospital, I was here worshiping the Lord. I didn't want to stop it. But I felt the Holy Spirit leading me to choose, along with the other leaders, that we should be going this route. Fruits of the Spirit say patience and kindness. If there's no patience and kindness or grace, then it's not of the Spirit. We must show grace to the leadership. Because we may not get it right, because we are human, we are fallible. But we are held doubly accountable for what we do. But with that being said, as leaders, we must do the same thing. Grace and mercy, patience and kindness. There are times when I hear people say something, and I say to myself, I did a message. I taught about that. Why don't you know? Any question is a good question. There's no such thing as a bad question. If we would know things once and be done with it, the Lord would not have to repeat things in the scriptures. He repeats things because we don't always get it or we don't always remember. We must remember that as leaders. We must show grace and mercy to those that ask questions, although you may have repeated it to him multiple times. Knowing God by pursuing Him means everything about God. He died for us. He shows us grace and mercy. We must also show grace and mercy to others, to your spouses, the fathers, the leaders of the family. May more than likely are not going to get it right all the time. But they're the ones that are going to be held accountable when the day of the Lord comes. We're going to be held accountable regardless of what is done. Yes, each person is held accountable for their actions to the Lord, but the husbands, the men, are going to be held doubly accountable for what happens. We all need to show each other grace and mercy just like He shows us grace and mercy. We all fall short, but the great news is that He did all the work for us. It's a new ball game. And he placed his laws in our minds and he wrote them on our hearts. He made it so that all will know him, from the least to the greatest. And again, this is exciting news, brothers and sisters. He wants to know us. He wants to take care of us. He loves us. He saved us. This is tremendous news, the good news, and we must seek him out. It is all a done deal. The Lord gave us many gifts, and in our eyes, this should be amazing. We must be excited about this good news. He made it so that we could know him. He made it so that we could have his laws in our minds and in our hearts. He gave us the Ruach HaKodesh. To me, it's still amazing of what he actually did for me. I am here talking to you today because of him. And in the natural, I should not be here. I am so blessed. We are all blessed. We need to pursue the Lord, to know the Lord. And from the Song of Solomon, the last scripture, verses, chapter 2, verse 16a, this is between him and us. We should be saying it from him. He is saying this to us, and we should be saying it to him. My beloved is mine, and I am his. In the case of the Lord, he is saying, my beloved is mine, and I am yours. Praise God, and he is so awesome. Amen. Amen.